see you out. We've had a few days of some actually really nice weather, but don't be fooled. Spring's not here yet. This is still February. We still got some winter ahead of us. I know y'all that lived in Tennessee or your whole lives that know that weather changes quite quick around here. We can get some good temperatures right now in February, and you make you almost think it's spring, but it ain't. And I guess we got some rain that's going to be setting in here tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and going to be cloudy on Sunday and rain on Monday again. And so, but you know, you don't have to shovel rain. You don't have to get plows out and clear the streets or anything, you know, and that. So I don't particularly care for the rain so much, but I'd rather have it than the snow, I reckon. So at least rain don't stop us from going somewhere. And we're thankful to be here tonight. Missing some, I guess, that's out sick, and then like Will has been working out of town and that, and he should be back in here on Sunday, but he's going to be working out of town, I guess, next several weeks or so in that, and that, so he doesn't get to be here and that, and I know Seth's been out sick with COVID, and Lydia called today, said she had COVID. She come down sick, so the kids are pretty sad because I guess Jethro got all dressed for church last Sunday, and when Seth tested positive for COVID and Liddy said we can't go, he got all sad. And then Rose was sad today and crying on the phone and they just, you know, they want to get out and go. And that, so just remember them in your prayers. I know that the COVID now, if you get it, it's not like it was, you know, back in 2020. People got it. People were dying, and people are getting it. Many of them was end up getting put in the hospital on things on oxygen and different things like that. And so symptoms and different things or whatever have changed that. But I can tell you, it still ain't no fun. It's still miserable. And when I had it back in, October, toward the end of October when I had it, my body, I ached all over. I felt like I'd been run over. I was just aching all over, and then I was constantly blowing my nose and at the same time couldn't breathe out of it. And I was miserable. And I was cold, and then I'd get hot. And so it's, you know, and you just don't feel good, but at least, like I said, it's not as bad as it was back in 2020 and that, but it's still not something you want to get or spread around, you know. So let's just remember them in prayer too, and those that aren't able to be here tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, and we ask for those that are out sick, Lord, that you will touch them and their bodies and heal them, Lord. Those that are out of town or unable to come, I pray, dear God, that you would be with them and keep them, Lord. And Father, bless them, we pray, and bless those that would hear this service later after it's posted online. And we ask for your guidance now in the scriptures and in this message that you give us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. And I'm going to, there's 21 verses in the chapter. I'm going to go ahead and read them, and then we'll go back over them. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that we which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You may be seated. Now, the last part of this chapter is actually dealing with reconciliation, which is atonement or restoration, that God came in Christ, and what he came to do was restore things back, is what Paul is saying here. But you realize that all of this that Paul is talking about deals with the first part of this chapter. That in order for, as the first part of this chapter is talking about a body that we have to go to when we die, and realizing that the last part of this chapter is talking about the reason we have that is because Christ restored us. Christ brought a reconciliation. Christ paid the price in order for us to have that. He became us so that we might become him. Now, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And I want to deal with this as Paul talks about being clothed. And so I want to look here at we'll start at verse 14 of the third chapter of Revelations. And it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy staff, that thou mayest see. Now, the thing I want to point out to you here is that as the Spirit of God is talking about the Laodicean age, and here, but the thing about it is that he's talking about those that are outside of Christ, and so actually, it was the same in every age. Those that were outside of Christ were considered to be naked before the Lord. They were considered and needed to be clothed. Now, we realize that there is a spiritual application here, talking about being clothed, later on in the book of Revelations, it says, his wife hath made herself ready. And we know that, that Brother Aaron says, everything that she has, that you have need of to make yourself ready as the bride of Christ, when you receive the Holy Ghost, all of that's in you then. But what are we being clothed with spiritually? Spiritually, we're being clothed with the Word of God. And we know that spiritually, that when we talk about the wedding garment or the robe, that is typed as the Holy Ghost. And we find that Paul says here at the first part of this chapter that we read in 2 Corinthians, he speaks about having the earnest of the Spirit. So having the Holy Spirit is proof to you that you are going to get a body change. In Hebrews, turn with me there if you would. You're very familiar, but I just want to point this out. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13, as we're talking about here, as it said in Revelations, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Now look here in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So the Word of God, we said, spiritually we're being clothed with the Word of God, but the Word of God actually, it exposes those that are not clothed with it. Now, to our human conceptions, we look on other people in that, and you look on people that, if you look back through your journey in the Lord, and how many times that you've had folks that you've went to church with, you fellowship with, you associated with, that you believe they were believers, you believe that, and you accepted them that way, you fellowshiped with them. You were accepting toward them, and you felt like they're one of us. And I'm not just talking about at this church, but some of us have over the years maybe been in different churches, and have sojourned with many people. And then, over time, you see some of those people you sojourned with that you thought was your brother and sister in the Lord, and you see them turn from it, And at one time, you thought, well, they were just as much a Christian as you were. And then you see them completely turn from it. Now, I want you to know this, friends. To our eyes, our perception, that's how we perceive them. But God... To God, they were always naked. Because they never received the Holy Ghost. They came through justification and sanctification, but they never had an experience with him. As Jesus said, that he would say to them in that day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you realize that, friends, look, to us, we look, and this is the appearance, and what are we judging? Many times we're judging on how they act when they're around us. You know, and they testify in church, and they sing in church, and they shout in church, and they play instruments in church, and they do all these things. But the thing is, friends, you know, look, they don't fool God, because the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You realize there are people that will come in, and friends, look, they, you know, some of them, you know, yes, they were sincere. They felt there was a sincerity. They really felt they wanted to change something in their lives. But they never had the experience with God. You know, and I'll honest, those are the ones I really feel bad for. I really feel sorry for them. But now there's others that come in, friends, and they are just wolves in sheep's clothing. They are wanting something without giving themselves. They want something from God, but they never want to give themselves to the Lord. And they want others to think well of them. So they act a certain way when they're around you. They try to say certain things to you. And friends, look, I've dealt with people that they try to get a read on you so that they can tell you what they think you would like to hear so that you will think well of them. And we're human. We sometimes get fooled by those things. And Satan knows how dense we are sometimes when it comes to that. Why? Because sometimes we let our emotions get in the way. Our human emotions. It has nothing to do with agape love. It's our human affections. And, you know, honestly, there's not a one of us that could look at anybody and say, "I don't care if that person's lost." No, we don't really want to see anybody lost. And sometimes that's one of the things that kind of troubles us, especially when it comes to our loved ones and things, because we get in ourselves and we get all worried about them. We get consumed with it because we don't see them making a move toward God in that, and we see the end is getting nearer and closer in that. And it seems like, you know, that some of them just, they get further and further from having a desire to even want to serve God. And it troubles us. And that's what we've got to come and realize, look, friends, there's nothing you can do about it. You've got to pray for them, commit it to God. Because, look, you look at the last part of this chapter we read, it was Christ that brought reconciliation. It was Christ that brought to restore. Now, he's given unto us, Paul says, the ministry of reconciliation, but that doesn't mean we can reconcile anyone. All we can do is point them to what Christ has done, and then it's up to them to accept it. You can't make anybody change. You can't make them accept it. You can't make them believe. You can't convince them into it. You can't reason them into it. You got to commit it to God and go on and don't let it worry you. If you want. But look, what I'm saying is the thing is, there's times when we would look at people and think they're spiritually clothed, but God looks at them and he knows. And look, I don't you know, ministers don't get up here in the pulpit, you know, and necessarily go to pointing people out in the church or whatever, you know, and saying you are and you ain't and you are and you ain't. But the word that's being preached comes out and it identifies, it exposes the spirit. The word identifies the believer and also identifies the unbeliever. And so in God's eyes, look, they may be able to fool us, but you can't fool God. And I'll tell you something, friends. People come up, it seems like, with all kinds of excuses for why they ain't serving God. And they come up with all kinds of excuses. Right here in Dixon, they come up with all kinds of excuses why they won't come to this church. Here's the thing I want you to take into consideration. Do you think any of them excuses are going to hold up on the day of judgment when they stand before God and God says, why didn't you go? You know, Jezebel might have said, well, I'll tell you what, if Elijah'd ever leave, I'd go to church. Sorry, Brother Branham said, Jezebel wouldn't accept it, but that was her pastor. So the word exposes, and so, you know, this nakedness that we're talking about. Now, let's go to this. Remember in Genesis, after God had, all creation was finished, and God had even made a helpmate for Adam, and here was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and you know, Adam had control over everything. And the Bible tells us that God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. Now, the Bible mentions specifically that after Adam and Eve had fell, and so they realized that they were naked, and so they made fig leaves to try to cover themselves. But then the Bible says that when they had done this, then it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Listen how it says that. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. You can't hear a voice walking. God was in a body. God came down in a body and walked with them. Now, remember when Abraham, if you look in the book of Genesis and you find this in the 18th chapter, Abraham, it was when that God, and he brought two angels with him, and he come down and Abraham looked up. It was in the plains of Mamre, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and he beheld three men stood by him. And so Abraham says, my Lord. And so Abraham says, you know, look, if I've found favor in your sight, come and sit down and eat with me. Spend some time with me. Sit down with me. Now, this was God Almighty that had come and visited Abraham. And friends, he was in a body. And he comes, and in this body that he's in, he actually sits down and he eats meat. And he drinks milk with Abraham. So did these angels. Now, the angels, we find, they left and went down to get Lot out of Sodom. Now, listen to this. When they went down to Sodom, it says they had to physically take a hold of Lot and his wife and daughters and physically remove them out of Sodom. So the bodies they were in could actually touch the bodies that Lot, his wife, and daughters were in. Now, let's go back to the first part of this chapter here in 2 Corinthians that we read, and see how Paul places this. For if we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, what Paul, as he's talking about this body, now the body that Paul is mentioning here is actually the body, he said, because he says, if this earthly house of this tabernacle, in other words, this body of flesh, when it dies, there is a body waiting. Brother Ram said there was a time when Christians believed that when this body died, that you just went out here and floated around like a spirit, waiting for the resurrection of the body. He said, but that's not what this says. There is a body waiting on you. And Brother Branham says that body that's waiting on those that died, leave this body, he said that body is what we call the theophany. And so, but in that theophany body, Brother Branham says, now that theophany body is real. It's just as real as this is real. And he said when he went beyond the curtain of time, that's what those saints were in. They were in their theophany bodies. And he said they hugged him. He could touch them. He said they were real. I was real. He said, but they didn't eat. They didn't sleep. But it was a body, he said, that they were in that was like a temporary until the resurrection. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we read this when we were studying in the books of 1 Corinthians. And I said some things about it, but I didn't want to go too deep in it because I knew I'd get back into this when we got into 2 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, this flesh that we're living in, this flesh, he says, it can't inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, what that is talking about, of course, we know is that the Bible refers to those who die in this life in Christ, that they sleep. Now, it doesn't mean that they actually go to sleep. It's just a reference to the fact that this body that they're living in is laid to rest. But there's your spirit, if you die, there's a body waiting for it to live in. And then it's in that realm, that dimension, which is a part of heaven. It's just not the part of heaven where God is or where Jesus is. And so they go to that dimension. Now, when you get into these things, you know, it can actually get really complex because Brother, you realize when Brother Branham went there in where he was beyond the curtain of time, who was he there with? Remember what it said? It said, with your people. Brother Branham thought at first he meant his family, and he said, well, man, there ain't this many Branhams. And so then Brother Branham realized, no, that the angel said, no, these are the ones that came because of your ministry, your message. Yes, he asked about Paul, but Paul wasn't there. Paul's part of the bride. So Paul and his saints, they were in a dimension, also in theophany bodies, waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like those that Brother Branham saw there. you wonder why all this is? Because look, friends, God says, look, I'm saving this whole get together for the bride. I want to be there. Yeah, I'm saving this whole get together. So you're only getting together with a portion before the resurrection. But then when the rapture actually comes and we're done, the entire bride will be there. The entire Gentile bride will be there. The Christian church. Amen. Now, we shall not all sleep, verse 51, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says we're all going to be changed. Now, we'll get more into that in a moment. Now, look in Philippians. I'm just wanting to show you these different areas here in the scripture where we draw all this from. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 20 and 21, where, you know, that where all of this is drawn from in the Bible concerning this about the body change. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, when Jesus died, was crucified, and he died, he left this mortal body. Now, I'm telling you, friends, he was living in a mortal body. That body got old, it aged. That body felt tiredness. That body felt weakness. But he left this mortal body, and in his theophany, he went to hell. And it was in his theophany body that he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that refused the word in the days of Noah. And we realize the Bible teaches us that Satan actually, he held the rights to anyone that died, whether they were a saint or a sinner. Because what? The price of reconciliation had not been paid. So when Christ died and shed his blood, he paid that price. He was the perfect atonement. When they come to in the Old Testament and they would come to deliver us, bring a sacrifice to make an atonement for the sins of the people, when we've taught this, it was from the blood of bulls and goats. It could not eradicate sin from the worshiper's life. But when Christ died, his blood shed, then a sinner coming under his blood, it eradicates sin from them. So then there was Abraham and Sarah and all the Old Testament saints that were there, and the Bible, you know, in the Old Testament, it refers to the place as paradise. Jesus even referred to it on the cross when the thief said, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." He goes, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." So you realize that when that thief died, his soul did not go to the regions of the lost. It went to where people were in prison because the reconciliation hadn't been paid. But Christ went down there, and in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes it this way and said, he led captivity captive and ascended. So when Christ arose, all of those that were in captivity because they had died under the blood of bulls and goats, then they arose. And the Bible even tells us that they were seen in Jerusalem. Now, remember when Christ arose, remember when he was there by the tomb, and the women were there, and, you know, and that, and he first appeared, he told them, you know, don't touch me. It's because he hadn't received the glorified body yet. But then he had a glorious body. Now, when the dead, when those in Christ die, as we've said, they go to a body, but it's a theophany body. It is real. They can feel all these things. They can see. They can touch one another. All this, but they don't need to sleep. They don't eat. You know, look, friends. You can't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb in a theophany body. You've got to have some other kind of body. So you realize the Bible says that they are not made perfect without us. Now, first of all, perfect means complete. But Brother Branham says, look, there's three bodies that we have. One is this earthly mortal body. Then he says there is a heavenly celestial body. And that one he's talking about is the theophany that we refer to. And the third one, he said, is the glorified body. Now, that glorified body is what, when the dead in Christ rise, what is it talking about? It means, look, they're in their theophany now in that dimension. But they come back here to meet with us. But they also come back here to receive their glorified body. And we are changed. We're changed in this body into a glorified body. Now, what's that mean? It is a body that is like a human body. It is a body, but it is like the way it was created when God created a body for Adam in the garden. That body was perfect. That body didn't die. That body couldn't get old. That body didn't get sick. All of that came about because of the fall. And that's why that we needed a redemption. And so they come back, friends, look, and what it is, that they've got to pick up a flesh body here. Now, what was Adam's body made out of? The Bible doesn't go into specifics. It says, but God took the dirt, the dust of the ground. Brother Badham goes in and talks about there being 16 elements that were used to make up a human body. But you realize that though when that body was created for Adam, that body was perfect. It was made up out of 16 elements from this earth. But it was perfect. It didn't get old. It didn't age. It didn't, it, you know, friends, look, it didn't get sick. But they could eat. And so they're coming back to receive a body that's made up out of 16 elements, but it's went back to the way it was in the beginning. Perfection. That's what a glorified body is. In the glorified body, you'll be able to sit down, you'll be able to eat, you'll be able to drink, but it won't get sick, it won't get old. Hallelujah. And remember how we pointed out that where it says that for when we go and come back from the wedding supper and we come down for the millennial reign, that it says Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And as we've taught, what is it that binds him? He can't have an effect on that glorified body that we're living in. Now, Paul says that we are new creatures in Christ now. But that new creature in Christ is what we've become on the inside. And right now, friends, this outside body that you look in the mirror and see every morning, it doesn't match what's on the inside of you. But one day, this vile body is going to be changed, and this what the outward body you're going to be clothed in is going to match what's on the inside of you. Amen. Now, let's go to what time is it getting to be? All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5 where we read, and let's look at verse 10. And it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, when those, friends, look, those that have accepted Christ at this time when it comes to the judgment, you're going to be standing there in a glorified body. But all those, you realize, look, there's a resurrection of the dead in Christ, and that's what we're waiting for it to happen. But after the time of the millennium, then there's going to be the last resurrection. And that resurrection, the Bible says, all of the dead will come forth. And when they come forth, friends, if they, look, at that time, those that come forth in that resurrection, they're going to come forth in the bodies that they lived in, that they sinned in. And when they stand there in that body, realize this, what are they clothed with? They're clothed with the body that they sinned in. They're clothed with the body that they committed all types of perversion. They're clothed in a body that they were in when they rejected the way of God. And so then you see then when they stand there in that body, they're actually, no wonder that God says that the shame of their nakedness will appear. Whoever is not clothed in a glorified body stands before God, as it were, spiritually naked. Now, we many times, different times in our lives, and that, you know, because of our memory and things and how Satan comes and torments us at times and brings back to our remembrance things that we've done, perversion or things we committed and sin that we did and things we said and all this, you know, and it's there and it comes back, but and we feel terrible. And the thing about it is, friends, we're still living in the bodies we did that stuff in. But on the day of judgment, the saints of God, your body's going to be changed. You're not going to be in these bodies that you committed that sin in. You're not going to be in these bodies that you committed adultery in, that you smoked, you drank, or you cursed, or whatever you did in that. You're not going to be in this body. The body you're going to be in never done those things. Now, remember that Brother Branham talks about how the bride is justified. And he said what that means is, he says, in God's eyes, you never did that. But see, we're still in a body that did do it. We still got memory of those things. But on that day, we're not going to be in a body that did any of that. And that memory of those things are going to be gone. Because you're not going to be tormented by those memories for eternity. So you realize that on that day, you stand there clothed in a glorified body, a perfect body, and a body that never sinned. But all those that did not accept Christ, all those that wouldn't come, they're going to stand there naked before God. And by what I'm talking about naked is that they're going to be standing there in this mortal, sinful flesh that they committed the sin in. And they won't be able to deny, because that's what they're going to be there in. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. I've talked to different people, you know, that had actually had interaction with Brother Branham and things. And then I've talked with other folks in the message, you know, good believers, good Christians and that, and I've actually heard them say, well, I don't know if I'd have really wanted to come in contact with him or not. You know, because he'd be able to see right through me. Why would they feel that way? Because they're still standing in this body that they've done whatever they've done in. So you imagine when people stand before God in the bodies that they committed sin in. But all that memory of those things, of the sin and things, whatever you've done, all that memory is going to be gone from you. And there's not going to be any trace of it around you. It's already gone from the memory of God. That's why Brother Abraham said, you're justified, which means just as if you'd never done it in the first place. And the glorious thing about it is, friends, we're going back to a body of what we had in the first place. Amen. Brother Adam said, this right here is just a negative. He said, but look, there's a picture taken. And he said, the body that you're going to have, when the body change says, you'll go back to what you was at your best. Hallelujah. That's the body that you'll appear before the Lord in. Brother Bam's asked a question, and he discusses this in the message at Kadesh Barnea. And he said he was out to dinner with some folks, and they wanted to know if they would know their loved ones when they met them in glory. And Brother Ram says this, he said, certainly we will know them. We have different bodies we dwell in. One's human, the other's celestial, the other is glorified. And then if we know one another in the human body, in the mortal body, how much more will we know each other in the glorified body? It's like if the law could produce a good thing, how much greater thing can grace produce? Because it's greater than the law. And if the moon can produce a certain part of light, how much more will the sun outshine it when it comes? And we'll certainly know each other. Hallelujah. Friends, I'm, you know, the Bible says, and we're so familiar with this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words. And we read this very often in funerals, and that, you know, to comfort the loved ones about the one that has passed. You know, if they passed in Christ, you know, and to bring comfort. But the thing, you know, Brother Branham says, there's going to be a day when the resurrection happens. And when it does, you look around and he says, your loved ones will come to you that have went on. He said, when they arise, they'll come to you. And he says, and when you see them, he says, then you'll know your body changes on the way. Hallelujah. And then Brother Branham talks about that God actually, like he did in the days when Jesus rose from the dead and brought Abraham and Sarah and the saints of the Old Testament with him in that, and they walked the streets of Jerusalem, and he said, you know, they were there about 30, 40 days. And Brother Herm says, we're going to have that time with our loved ones. And he says, because God gives us that time to reunite with them, because then when he comes, and he wants all eyes on him. He don't want you looking around no more. He wants you to look at him. But we're gonna have some time right here with them, and then be caught up to meet the Lord in there. Because look, remember, friends, listen, Jesus, God can't come back down on this earth in the way it is. Now we know that Jesus is gonna come and appear to the Jews and caught that 144,000 in that. But when we're gonna meet the Lord in the air. In the rapture. I'm looking forward to that time. So you hear me so many times when I preach different messages, and that so often I come around somehow in there, I work in something about the body change. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I really, you know, and it's not, I'm not looking forward to it just so I can be young again. You know, a lot of people talk about, boy, well, I wouldn't give to be a young man or a young woman again. Now, I don't want to be that young man again. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be that young person again. I like what God has revealed to me now and that I have understanding of. That young man did not have understanding of those things. And I'm not just talking about being educated spiritually. I'm talking about having an understanding of loving God. I'm talking about having an understanding of walking with the Lord, of fellowshipping with the Lord, the joy that comes from being a Christian. I'll tell you what, that young man, he done some really stupid things. He made some really dumb decisions. I'm talking about that young man Jerry was. I'm sure you could say the same thing about your maybe younger self. So I don't want to go back and be him again. So, and it's not just about being young again, but it's, look, friends, I realize this body can inherit the kingdom of God, and I want to go there. So I want a body that can go there. And I want to be like the Lord wanted me to be. I want to be and have the same kind of a body that the Bible says that we will have that Jesus has. Hallelujah. Never get old. Never get sick. There won't be no more need of healing as far as for the believers, because we're going to be in a perfect body, restored back to what God wanted us to be. We became this, what we are now, because of the decisions that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden. They brought about these bodies because of their disobedience to the Word of God. Brother Adam preaches that message when he talks about that, and he says it's condemnation by representation. They represented all of mankind there in the beginning. And because of the choice they made to go against God's word, it condemned all the rest of us. Oh, but it's so wonderful that God didn't leave it like that. He come down there and he pronounced judgment on that serpent. He said, I'm going to. And he gave a promise of a seed that was going to come that would restore us back the way it was before sin came in. I'm going to put enmity, he said to the serpent, put enmity between your seed and her seed. What is he talking about? Well, first of all, physically, what happened there could not happen again because he changed the serpent. But, friends, look, the seed that of God that's in you, it didn't come to you through your natural birth. You were in the back part of God's mind. Amen. His thoughts when he was creating the world. And he wanted to bring them thoughts down and have them manifest here on earth. As Brother Adam said, because of what Adam done, we bypassed our theophany. When Adam was first created, friends, you know, the Bible says, let's create man in our image, in our likeness. And man was created, but he wasn't created in a flesh body. Remember, he created man. Then he came down and made a body out of the dust of the earth for man to come and be clothed in. And that body was a perfect body. But it was made up of this earth. So when Jesus came, friends, he didn't come just to redeem your soul, but he also came to redeem your body. And the way he could redeem your body was by redeeming the earth. Amen. Because when sin came in the garden, it threw all of creation out of sync. talks about the time of the millennium when things are set back. Right. And it says, the lion shall lay down by the lamb, and the beast of the wild will be led by a child. See, creation got all out of whack because of sin. But we're going back. What are we going back to? The first day. The eighth day, yes. Which is the first day, yes. A new beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word tonight, Lord, and for how you've guided us through the scripture speaking on these things, Lord. About the changing of the body that will be in, Father. Lord, also, Father, it makes it clear the difference of the body that the saints of God will be in and the body that the sinner will be in on that day when they stand before the Lord. And Lord, we are thankful, God, that we've been clothed by your Spirit and we're being clothed by your Word. But one day, Father, we're going to be clothed in a new body. And Lord, we're looking forward to that, Lord. We're looking forward to seeing our loved ones again, Lord. And we're looking forward to finally being able to come, Lord, into your presence. Not just your presence like we feel it here on earth or in the services, Lord, but actually be able to meet you face to face. Lord, we're going to be able to touch you and you're going to be able to touch us. We're going to be able to hug you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I look forward to this. Lord, such a wonderful time. Oh, God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as I was reading today, Lord, Brother Bram said that it wasn't till this time that it was actually revealed completely to us what kind of a body we were going to be in. It was clear in the Word, dear God, but people... Lord, we come to a clear understanding because of how what you brought and through the prophet, Lord, and the things that you let the prophet see and experience and share with us. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray again, Lord, as we close for those, Lord, that are out sick, that you'll bring healing to them, God. Bring us all back here at the appointed time. Keep us, Father, I pray over the next few days till we come back here on Sunday. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Sing that song.